Well, it is a privilege to be here. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. It's a blessing that Brother Ted would ask us. I love men's meetings. And man, when I, you know, here, my wife said, "Do you know what the theme of the meeting is?" I said, "No." Said, "Brother Ted didn't call you or anything?" I said, "No. No, that's okay. Maybe he forgot. I don't know. Maybe he forgot he asked me to preach." So then, like 2 days before the meeting, I mean, like 2 days, he called, "You still coming?" "Yeah, I'm still coming." "You know what the theme of the meeting is, don't you?" "No, I don't know what the theme of it is." "It doesn't matter. I'm going to preach what I want to anyway." But it's always awesome when you don't know what the theme of the meeting is, and then you ask God what to preach, and it's kind of the theme of the meeting. I mean, that's pretty good. So it's a blessing. I want you to take your Bibles and go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And stand with me as we read the Word of God tonight. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I think most people would understand that Paul is writing his last letter to his young son in the faith, Timothy, one that he would even tell the Philippians. He said, "No man has the mind like Timothy does." I mean, Timothy was the protege, if you would, of the Apostle Paul. He was really his son in the faith. And I've always thought it's interesting that the last words of somebody would be very important. I was with Brother Art Wilson 2 days before he passed away, and I was sitting at his bedside, and he gave me some great words of encouragement, and he basically said something like this. His wife was a member of our church. He never changed his membership from Wichita Baptist Tabernacle. All of those years that he lived in Springfield, he kept his membership there. But Mrs. Wilson was a member of our church, and so he would come to Brien quite a lot if he was not out preaching. And he said, "Well, brother, my time is over." He said, "My time is done, but your time is not done." I said, "Yes, sir. So far, so good." And he said, "Just let me give you a piece of advice." I said, "Okay, brother." He said, "Preach the word." And that was really what was on his heart. He goes, "I'm just praying that young men would continue to preach the word." So I thought about that. And then something happened this year. I was asked to preach the opening days at Heartland. And so they began to talk about how this was our 25th year, the 25th year of Heartland. And so since I had kind of, I've been around since the very beginning, I was there when the bunch of preachers went down and saw that and saw the building and, you know, the facilities there and all that. And so this began my thought process on this particular passage of Scripture. There's some other things that have happened maybe in the last year or so. And so this has really been something that's been laid on my heart, and I'm going to preach it to you guys tonight. And here's what it is in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Paul said this, he said to Timothy in verse 10, he says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Then he almost says, "But at the same time, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Timothy, here's what I want you to do. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Man, if you could just know the stories of things going on today, you would say, that is so true. I just think of one little story that happened maybe 12 years ago. I picked up a newspaper, the Springfield Newsleader, and inside the article, there was an article about the largest Sunday school class in Springfield. And they made an article about this and said, and I turned over immediately there, and there was one of the, quote, churches in our community, one of the larger, quote, churches in the community. And the largest Sunday school class at that time was called the Mayberry class, and it was all about Andy Griffith's show. Now, I like Andy Griffith, but not in Sunday school. It says they will be turned into fables. But Timothy, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Lord, I pray today that you would help us with the message tonight. I pray that men over the next few days would be encouraged to do the things which are right, that they would lead their families in the right way. They would not just be doers of, they would not just be hearers of the word, but God, we would be doers of the word. And we would lead our families in the right way. We would not send our families to church, but we would lead our families to church. That we would be men in a world today where manhood is looked down upon and ridiculed and made fun of. But Lord, we know there's a difference between men and women. There's a difference, and you made us that difference. You made us different, and you gave us different roles. And Lord, we should fulfill those roles as a man. May God help us. And now, Lord, as we look at this passage of Scripture and the last words, some of the last words of the Apostle Paul as he was writing to young Timothy, his son in the faith. And here's what he said to Timothy. Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of. And Lord, I pray tonight that we would be assured of what we believe and why we believe it, and that we would take those doctrines and take those beliefs and take those convictions, and that we would take them all the way to the end of our life. May God help us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Sometimes I get to preaching and people stand there for like 25 minutes, but I got to stand for 2 hours, so I don't see what the problem really is. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was able to celebrate my 22nd anniversary at Berean Baptist Church on the first Sunday in October. It's been an amazing journey, an amazing life that we have been able to live over the last 22 years at Berean Baptist Church. I'm very thankful. I would say tonight, I don't know how many know, but Rick Mowry that's here, pastors over in north of Dayton, Ohio, and Laurel, Ohio. The very first time that we ever showed up at Berean Baptist Church way back in 1985 was the first time that we ever went to that church. And I had just gotten out of the Air Force. We were moving to Springfield, Missouri. We're going to go to Baptist Bible College, where everybody loved Jesus and everybody was going to be wanting to learn the things of God, or so I thought when I got there. And Brother Mowry, we visited two other churches, and finally we went to Berean on a Sunday night, and that was the first man that I met, and he had us over to his house, and we still came back to Berean even though he did that. And so we've been friends ever since. I appreciate Brother Mowry. He was on staff at the church at that time, worked there. And so anyhow, that's kind of a little history. Before that, before Springfield, I became the pastor. I've only been a member of three churches. The church I got saved in when I was in the military, Berean Baptist Church that I went to while I was going to college, and Calvary Baptist Church in Knobnoster, just outside of Whiteman Air Force Base. And then 12 years after pastoring that, came back to Berean Baptist Church and now have been there 22 years. Now, if you put those numbers together, I think you could understand that I've been pastor for almost 34 years. 34 years that I have had the privilege to pastor one of the Lord's churches. Now, Here's what I can say. There's a lot of things that are different now than when I started in the ministry. Even in going to Bible college in 1986 to 1989, started pastoring in 1989 there. And then, it's just been a lot of changes culturally, a lot of changes out there in the world and what people think and their mindset. And it's just a lot of things like that. In fact, I was thinking about this when I was preaching the opening days at Heartland this year. I was thinking 25 years ago that none of these students were even alive. They weren't even born into the world. And then I begin to think about things like this. 25 years ago, now there's a reason I said that 25 years was because I was asked to preach starting the 25th anniversary of Heartland and stuff like that. And it's been about 25 years since I met Brother Tidd and we became friends. 25 years ago since Heartland kind of started. 25 years ago that many of us began to fellowship together. 25 years ago or so that a lot of people left the BBFI. You know, now for many years nobody could say that. It made everybody nervous, but we're way past that now. I mean, we had to leave. Dave Leidick said it like this to me. He goes, "Well, I didn't leave them. They left me." Basically, we were staying the same that we were all the years, and there's some changes that took place, and we're like, well, we're not going to change. We're going to stay what we've always been, and so there was that. That's what took place. But 25 years ago, there are so many things. I was preaching one day, and I said to the church, and I've got two rows of teenagers that sit right in front of me, and it's always a blessing. And I looked down at him and I said, "Do any of you know what a yellow page is?" And of course, I've got grandkids that are 17 and 14. And they looked at me like a calf at a Newgate. You know what I'm saying? They didn't have no idea what a yellow page was. But you know, listen to this. 25 years ago, if you wanted somebody to find your church, outside of knocking on their door or whatever, they would open up the yellow pages and they would look for usually independent, fundamental, Bible believing, King James only Baptist churches, and so people would advertise like that: independent, fundamental, King James, whatever it might, non-charismatic. I wanted to put it all in there. I wanted a full-page ad that said, "We're independent Baptist, fundamental in our doctrine. We're non-charismatic. We're not a Calvinist church. We're independent. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. We use the King James Bible. We're mission-minded, blah, blah, blah." But then they would charge you too much for all that. So you would just put in there independent or fundamental or whatever it might be. And that's how people kind of had an idea. And people would say to me, "Well, I'm going to be going so-and-so on vacation." I'd say, "Get the yellow pages and open up looking for independent fundamental. That's a good starting point." Now you might go and go, "Well, that's not real independent and it's not fundamental like I was looking for fundamental." But I'll tell you, 25 years ago, we didn't even have such things like Facebook. Praise God. Or Twitter. Or YouTube. And you say this to young people and they're like, "What? There was no YouTube? How did you find out what so-and-so did?" We called them on the telephone and asked them. That's how. There was no Netflix. There was no Amazon. Now that one I'm a little concerned about, because I can now sit in my chair and order things and they bring it to my door. And I like that better than going to Walmart. Nobody knew what a Tesla was 25 years ago. It's a fast car, I can tell you that. Somebody pulled one. I just sold mine. Who would have ever thought in the United States of America that you could buy a car and 2 years later sell it for more money than you bought it for? Somebody said, "Why did you sell it?" I said, "Because I made money on it, and I had fun driving it for 2 years, and it was time for me to go back to a real vehicle." And I felt a little dirty. I felt almost liberal driving the thing sometimes. So I sold it for more money than I bought it for. And I'm buying me the big SUV. I mean, you know, "Well, don't you know that's a lot of gas?" Well, yeah, that's more American, you know what I'm saying? And besides, hopefully this guy ain't going to be the president forever. And gas will go back to where it should be. Or an iPhone. 25 years ago, nobody knew what an iPhone was. There was no such thing as that. So there are some things I'm glad for, but we take many of those things for granted today. I mean, it is a part of our, all of those things, one way or another, are a part of our life. But they weren't even, not only were they not even in existence, most of those things wasn't on anybody's radar 25 years ago. There was a lot of things we didn't have back then, but you know what? There was a lot of things we did have. We have things back then that still are the same today as they were back then, like the Bible that I preach from. The Bible that I preach from and the Bible that I believe is the Word of God for the English-speaking people, that has not changed. I'm telling you, we still have a Bible that we believe, if preached, can train a generation of preachers or to see people saved by the grace of God. I'm just telling you this. I've had several people over the last 25 years or so, they'll say, well, Brother Abels, you have you have trained missionaries that are pastors across America, and it is true, and missionaries across the world, and that's true, and we're never going to be real big because we believe that when people get saved and they get discipled and they get trained, that God still calls men to preach. And after they get preached and they train and they know what they believe and why they believe it, and they have convictions based on the Word of God because they believe they have the Word of God, and they believe that they understand what a church is. It's not some universal, invisible thing, but it is a local assembly of baptized believers, and that it is our job, and God has called us to go out of the church and to preach the gospel and to reduplicate ourselves. And so we're getting ready right now we're getting ready to start our 34th church in the United States of America down in Poplar Bluff, Missouri, because of a situation. I'm just saying, 34th church that we're going to start in the 55 years we've been in existence. Why? Because that's what God has told us to do. He's told us to continue these things. The gospel has not changed. The Bible has not changed. The church has not changed. Preaching of the Word of God has not changed. And people will say, well, preach, Brother Abels, can you sit down and tell me how this has taken place? And I'm like, are you serious? I have no idea. All I know is God called me to preach, so I preached. When I was called to go to the church in Knobnostra, Missouri in 1989, there was 14 people in the church. 8 of them was old enough to vote for me as the pastor. I preached for 2 months, and we went from 25 down to 6, and then God said, okay, now you can do something with that. You couldn't handle 25, but you can handle 6. And I'm thinking, well, this is the way life is going to be. You preach, people leave. Because the first time I ever preached in my whole life, a group of people, I'll tell that story in a minute, I'll just tell you in a minute, but I'm just telling you, ever since I've been preaching, people have been getting up and leaving. But you know what? I went out, I knocked on doors, we went out to the military base, we got back in the days when you could go on a military base, and 9/11 did away with a lot of that. We invited people, we preached, we won people to Christ, we discipled them. We began to have a Bible Institute. People began to be called to preach. And there is no secret. There is nothing that I've ever done except take the Bible and preach it verse by verse through the Word of God and grow a church. And God's done all that. I have not done any of that. But you know what? This is what I'm saying. Even though there's a lot of things that have changed over the last 20 years, that stuff hadn't changed. Ministry hasn't changed. The way we do ministry hasn't changed. Now, we may be able to have more tools and stuff like that. And sometimes I think we take tools rather than the power of God and try to replace it. No, we still need preaching. We still need prayer. We still need fasting. That's something that everybody's gone out the door. But I'll tell you this. And you know what we need? We need loyalty. The Apostle Paul had a young man named Timothy that was loyal to him. He was loyal to it. He was loyal to the church. He was loyal to the preaching. He was loyal to that. I'm telling you, people in, I grew up in the South. And people in the South, man, they're loyal to their team. I don't care. I'm a Tennessee Vol fan, and I was Tennessee born. I was Tennessee bred. And when I die, no matter where in the world I live, I'll be Tennessee dead. I was 12 years old before I found out that Rocky Top was not the national anthem. I was so disappointed to understand that. I took my wife to a Tennessee football game. She sat up in the bed the next day. She put her hands over her ears and she said, "I can't get that Rocky Top out of my head." I said, "That's the point, woman. That's the point. That's why I took you there." Because she's Nebraska. She came from Nebraska. And I said, "God, please, whatever happens, let Tennessee be win the national championship before Nebraska." It didn't happen. I had to listen to her father, I had to listen to her brothers, I had to listen to her sisters. It was a disgusting time in my life. But 2 years later, praise God, we won the national championship and we've stunk ever since. But it doesn't matter. We're still loyal to Tennessee. You can talk to Dean Herring. He'll be a dog for the rest of his life. Nebraska fans will always be Nebraska fans. And I hate to say this, but hopefully Indiana fans. Well, just come over and help me be a Tennessee fan, all right? Alabama, I'm telling you, Nick Saban sold his soul to the devil. Anyhow, time out. I'm just saying, whatever happened to being loyal to the things of God? I'm telling you, I remember being a student at BBC back in the 80s and hearing some of the stories of the old BBFI and BBC starting in a meeting down in downtown Texas hotel. And I'm telling you, everybody I ever knew was at that hotel. I heard stories personally from men like Carl Boonstra. Brother Boonstra, 97 years old, preached in our church 2 weeks ago. We were in our 6 month Faith Promise Mission. I said, "Hey, Brother Boonstra, we need a booster from Boonstra." He said, "Well, preacher, we're like 25 or 50. He said, "We're 50-something thousand over." I said, "I know, we need to be 100,000 over." And he got up and preached. And then the man named Wally Williams, who was preaching when I got saved back in 1984, they were both there. They were really there when it all took place. They were seniors, and they saw it all take place. And I remember one time taking Brother Boonstra and Brother Wally Williams to the Cracker Barrel and setting them across from each other. And I sat there and listened for over an hour as these two old war horses talked about the old stories, talked about the power of God, talked about faith promise, talked about missions being money raised for mission, about missionaries going all over the world. And then I heard about men like Casey Thomas, and then later on I went to school with his son Sam. And then in 2010, me and Brother Boonstra went to India, and I saw it in action. And guess what? Those are the kinds of things that hadn't changed. Now I feel like the old man looking back and saying to the next generation, like Paul said to Timothy in verse 14, "Continue, Timothy, in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Be loyal to what is true." Truth doesn't change. And it doesn't change just because of difficulties or COVID or whatever it might be. Boy, I wished I had COVID to do over again. I'd change some things. I remember we had those first weeks. You know, we were trying to figure out where we were at. Everybody was. And we were doing live stream, and I hated every bit of it. I just sitting there preaching to a camera, and all of our people were there. But something happened after the second week. People started coming back. And people just said, "Preacher, we got to be in church. We got to be in church." And I was like, "Oh, man, we're gonna get in trouble." Okay. But I ain't going to tell nobody they can't come to church. For I know it, man, there's a couple of hundred people at church, and we're not supposed to be meeting. We live in Springfield, Missouri. Everybody thinks that's the Bible Belt. Son, we live in communist Springfield, Missouri. And as long as they were getting money. So when people started coming back, I finally said, "All right, that's enough. We're going to have church." And I said, and for a while we had families sit together, and then I said, forget that. I want the kids back on the front row. We had these coronavirus sticks, you know. We were trying to do 6 feet. I said, forget all of that. You can wear a mask if you want, but I ain't wearing a mask, and I might spit to the third row, so you do whatever you want. And then one night some health official showed up at our church. I mean, you could tell. You can tell about that. You can tell. I mean, you could see a guy like Fauci for like 16 miles. Every time that guy come on TV, I told my wife, I don't trust him. Ain't something right, I'm telling you. Oh, he's trying to help. No, he ain't trying to help. It's all about the money, boys. That's what it's always about. So anyhow, this guy, and I thought, oh boy, here he comes. He comes up to me after church, and he said, Pastor, can I ask you a question? Yeah, go ahead. Did you say you act like that? Yeah, I was like that, because I'm like, oh boy, here we go. He said, can you tell me why people in this church are not wearing a mask? I said, you want to know the truth? He goes, yeah. I said, because it's church. I said, it's because we live in the United States of America, and we have a constitution that says we have the freedom of religion. We have the freedom to meet together. I said, if people want to wear a mask, let them wear a mask. If they don't want to wear a mask, leave them alone. In fact, leave us alone. Of course, that's easy to say when you're saying it. But when you go home, you're like, oh, man, we're in trouble now. Oh, man, I'm going to have to call my lawyer tomorrow. And I didn't sleep a bit that night. You know, Brother Abels, he done opened his mouth and said what he wanted to say. But it felt good while I was saying it. And I called the staff and I said, well, we're in trouble, man. The health department's going to be down on us. Never heard a word. Bunch of chickens. Anyhow, so I've been going ever since. And if I had to do it over again, I'd have said, let's all get COVID as soon as we can so we can get over it. Yeah. I want you to look at the time setting in this text. I got to get back to the preaching. I'm really got something to say tonight. Really, I do. I want you to go to the time setting. When Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, he understood that his time was drawing to a close. Nero was, of course, the Caesar at this time, and with his culture of hate towards Christianity, he was ready to kill Paul, and he was ready to blame Rome's problems on the Christians. Isn't it ironic that we live in a society today that they want to blame things on Christianity? In fact, he wanted to blame Christians for the fire that had burned Rome just several years earlier. But history has now revealed to us later on that Nero was the one who actually did the burning. And he tried to blame it on the Christians. And it was by this time his government, it would be those in the government who would call good evil and evil good. Sounds very familiar to where we're at today. Now the time setting is this. Paul would have been killed by Nero in around 67 AD. Now the reason that we know this is because there's markers in the Bible, and there's also markers outside of the Bible in historical events that allow us to do a timetable of the events of Paul's life. It's a fascinating study, and I don't have time to go into the weeds, but I've done this study, and I can tell you that some of those markers are in the Bible, very clearly marked, and some of them are from historical events. Some of those markers include the death of Nero, and the Bible doesn't say Nero died in 68 AD, but history tells us that in June 68 AD, Nero died. We also understand the ministry of John the Baptist, along with the death of King Herod, the death of Archias that's talked about in the book of Acts, the rule of Gallio that's talked about in the book of Acts, and the rule of Festus that's talked about in the book of Acts. All of those are historical markers where people knew the exact dates of when Festus came, when he left, when King Herod died, when John the Baptist came on the scene. And here's what we can conclude from that study. Paul was saved in 35 AD. Around 6 years later, he was taken by Barnabas to Antioch, and there for a year they served together at Antioch in that church that I believe Barnabas was the pastor, and that church was started out of the Church of Jerusalem, of course. And then after that would be 44 AD. That's when these two men went out on the very first missionary journey. Now, what I like to say is, after a year of the pastor and the assistant pastor working in the church, God called the pastor and the assistant pastor to be missionaries. And they went to the area of Galatia, and then we understand that on the second missionary journey that there was a disagreement between the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, and so God just used that disagreement to make two missionary teams. And praise God, through Barnabas and Silas, the gospel went to Europe through Philippi. But from the time that Paul and Barnabas left on that first missionary journey, listen to this, to the time that Paul would write this letter that we read part of tonight to Timothy, listen to this, was about 25 years. I want you to think about all that God did with this man named Paul in 25 years. And I thought how ironic it was that at the end of those 25 years, Paul would write to Timothy and say this, continue. He didn't say change. He didn't say there was a better way. He didn't say there was a more relevant way of doing things. He just said this, Timothy, continue. And notice he said, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and here's what I like, have been assured of. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. I've been a pastor for 30-something years. I've been saved since 1984 when I was 24 years old. And I'm telling you, I have the same convictions now that I did when I was reading the Bible when I was 25 years old. You know why? Because the Word of God hadn't changed. The Bible hadn't changed whatsoever. When I got saved in 1984, I was in the military. I was in the Air Force. And I was in this contracting center in the middle of San Antonio, Texas. And we bought stuff for all of the bases that city. There's like five bases. There's Kelly Air Force Base, Randall Air Force Base, Fort Sam Houston, Brooks Air Force Base, and Randolph Air Force Base. And so some general came up with this great idea, and it didn't last but about 10 years because it was the worst idea in the world. And I'll tell you why, just so you know, if you're military, every base thinks that their mission is the most important mission. And so you got a contracting center and you got all of these people thinking their mission is the most important mission, and they want you to put their contracts ahead of this contract, but you had to do it in the order they came and blah, 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 and all that. But anyhow, while I was in there, God surrounded me with some independent Baptists. Amen. And this one man in particular began to witness to me. And man, I'm telling you, I gave him a hard time. I told him I didn't want to have anything to do with the Bible. I said, I've got my life figured out. I know what I'm going to do. I don't need anything else. But he was one of those independent Baptists who just kept witnessing to me and wouldn't give up on me. And praise God, he didn't give up on me. And basically what he said one day, he goes, you know, our church is having this special meeting. He didn't say revival. He just said, they're having a special guest speaker. He's going to be there for a couple of days. And he said, I'd like for you to come. And I said, now when is it? He said, 3 months from now. I said, does that mean you'll leave me alone for 3 months? He said, I promise I'll leave you alone for 3 months if you'll come. So I thought, okay, good. So he left me alone for 3 months, and I kept my word. I thought he'll forget about it. Baptists don't forget about those things. Because he was concerned about my soul. I could have cared less. Isn't that sad? So anyhow, I go to church, and then I heard something I'd never heard before, preaching from the Bible. Amen. I had kind of grew up in a liberal Southern Baptist church where I'd never heard the Bible preached like that. So curiosity brought me back. Several months went away. I don't have the timetable. But Wally Williams was there on another meeting doing a prophecy conference, and he stood up. And so by this time, I had convinced myself I was okay. And then he stood up and he preached, all those who say, Lord, Lord, shall not enter into the kingdom of God. And I'm telling you, it's like I was the only person there. And I got saved. I didn't get saved that morning, and I didn't get saved that night. But about 2 o'clock in the morning, that message from that morning, I got down on my knees. I begged God to save me. I said, God, I'll do whatever you want. Just save my wicked soul. And I'm telling you, I got saved. And I got saved from the top of my head to the bottom of my foot. People have thought I've been crazy ever since. But I'm telling you, you ought to be crazy for Jesus if you get saved. because the life that I lived before, God changed my life. I went to work the very next day in the contracting center, and I stood up on a chair and I said, "Hey, I got to tell everybody something." I heard one guy over here say, "Abel's got another joke." And I said, "I just want everybody to know at 2 o'clock this morning, I repented. I trusted Christ as my Savior. I got saved by the grace of God. And I just want everybody to know that. And if anybody wants to talk to me about it, talk to me about it." There was like a Texas kitchen. It was like a kitchen in the middle of a Texas night. When you turned all the light, all the roaches took off everywhere. They spread out from that place. They're like, "Abel's has gone crazy." And so the first people that came to me was the charismatics. And they said, have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoken in tongues yet?" And I go, "No, is that something you're supposed to do?" And they go, "Oh yeah, it's evidence of the Holy Ghost in your life." I said, "Really?" So I went home and I told my wife, I said, "Well, this group of people today said I need to speak in tongues." I said, "So I got to figure out what this is all about." So here's what I did. This is what I did. I'm telling you, this is how God called me to preach. I got me a blank piece of paper, a Strong's Concordance, a King James Bible, and I looked in every reference where the Bible talked about tongues and all this kind of stuff. And it took me 2 weeks before I went back to them and I said, "Hey, I got to talk to you guys about that speaking in tongues thing." And they said the same thing. "Have you spoken in tongues?" I said, "Well, first of all, the tongues that you're talking about and the tongues that are in the Bible, that's two different things." I said, "You guys are wicked." And they go, "You're blaspheming the Holy Ghost." And I went, "Blaspheme, blaspheme, blaspheme." I said it three times. Because I wasn't blaspheming the Holy Ghost. They were liars. I'm sorry. But there ain't no such thing as... That is out of control. That's not God. So after I got that all squared away, you know what? I got a conviction about not being a charismatic. And then I found out they believed you could lose your salvation. Well, who wants to be a part of that? I don't want to lose my salvation, and the Bible says you can't lose your salvation. I'm telling you, those are convictions that you need to have. Well, then the next people that came to me 3 months later was the Ruckmanites. And so I was like, "Oh, really?" And so after I studied that out, here's what I found out. The Authorized King James Version of the Bible is the word of God for the English-speaking people, but the way they believe it, they're wrong. And I told them they were wrong. And they started saying all kinds of... When people start saying bad things about you, I'm telling you, like, "Liar, liar, 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 pants on fire, fire, fire." He did not tell Timothy to change. He told Timothy to continue. Now, what did he tell him to continue in? Look at verse number 15. He said, "And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ." Isn't it amazing that right after Paul said, "Continue thou in the things which you have learned, continue thou in the things that you're assured of," and he says, "Hey, from a child you have known the scriptures, the holy scriptures." Listen, my friend, he wanted Timothy to continue in the word of God. I am telling you, what we need today in churches and what men need to do is continue in the word of God. The word of God ought to be the main textbook in the life of any Christian. You will never get too old to read it and love it and digest it and learn from it and memorize it and listen to it preach and be able to give an answer of the hope that is placed inside of you because of the inerrant, infallible word of God. And I don't think we have to be ashamed to say we believe that the Authorized King James Version of the Bible is the Bible for the English-speaking people. Because we are not Bible critics and we're not Bible correctors, we're Bible believers. Amen. All knowledge is dependent on truth, and thy word is truth. Amen. And when we come to meetings like this, it is to hear from God. We are to be challenged to continue in the things like Bible preaching and the word of God. I believe this with all of my heart, that Bible preaching and prayer and fasting is the most needed thing for God's people today. Not more programs. I'm telling you, when we went through COVID, I got through about three programs we were having. I said, "We don't need it." I said, "You know what we need? Was we need the preaching of God's word. It's been the best thing for us." And I'm not against programs and stuff like that. But I'm just saying, I think we need to get back to the basics of the Word of God. I believe people today want cookie and milk instead of meat preaching. We want to feel good with no sacrifice. We don't want to feel any conviction. We want to feel good. No, when you come to church, you should feel something like, hey, this is what God says, and I need to change that. We've got a whole generation where no longer preach on holiness because that makes people uncomfortable. One of the reasons that we left BBC back in that 25-year period I was talking about is because we had those who wanted to correct the Bible. And I'm telling you, we had 20... And by the way, if something's going on like that where people are trying to correct the Bible or be Bible correctors, then 25 years later, don't be so surprised if that same group comes around again. Because it seems like this stuff goes around about every 25 or 30 years. And I've always told our church that I've pastored, both churches I've pastored, I said, listen, I'm not looking to have the biggest church. I'm just looking to have a church that's pleasing to God. Amen. And so when I think about like a Bible college or something like that, I've always said this, I'm not looking to be a part of the biggest Bible college or something like that. I'm just looking to be a part of one that hadn't changed. We believed 25 years ago, and I still believe now, that we have a Bible. I still believe that serving God through the church is what we're supposed to do. I still believe that we're supposed to go out and knock on doors and talk to people about the Lord and invite them to church. I still believe that we should be holy men. I still believe that we should that men should be holy. I wanted to preach tonight so bad on the heart that Jesus said about the heart, that everything that's in the heart, when it comes out, it defiles the man. I wanted to preach that so bad. God said, no, I want you to preach this. So I'm not gonna disobey God, but I'm telling you, everything that Jesus talked about in Mark that's inside a man's inside of every one of us. And when it comes out of us, it defiles us. It's in there. Murder's inside of us. Adultery's inside of us. Fornication's inside of us. Evil is inside of us. Murder's inside of us. It's all inside of us. And when it comes out, it defiles us. Hey, you know what? We need men who are going to be holy too. I'm telling you, we live in a sex-crazed society, and it's almost like people think it's okay to do this or okay to do that. We've got men who are going into adultery and then still in the pulpit. May God help us. That's one of the problems with our country today. God disqualifies himself for the ministry. He needs to ask God to forgive him. He needs to move on and do something else, but not pastor people. I wasn't even in my message. That's free. We need to continue in Bible believing, Bible training, Bible preaching. Then he said this, another thing he said this in verse number, he moves from Bible to preaching. Isn't that amazing? He says this in verse number 2 of chapter 4. He says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Preach the word, Timothy. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That has not changed. For the time will come when people will not hear sound doctrine. I still believe that God is building a church for his honor and for his glory. By the way, what do we preach? We preach the word. I've often thought, how are you going to preach the word if you don't know what the word is? And by the way, the word of God will do its job. We just need to preach it. Paul assures Timothy that the word of God is profitable for doctrine. I've had people, I've went to people's door after they've come and they said, well, we heard there's a lot of doctrine going on down there at that church. I said, really? You heard that, huh? Yeah, we just don't know if we want to come down there and all you hear is doctrine. I said, well, sir, do you know what doctrine is? It's like Bible believing things in the Bible thing, you know. It's just teaching what the Bible tells us. That's all doctrine is. It's like somebody goes, well, doctrine, ooh, I mean, that's like, you know, weird stuff. No, it's not. It's Bible teaching. And when you teach people the Bible, it's going to reprove us. It's going to correct us. It's going to instruct us how to stay right. That's why we need to be in church. I believe training men is one of the things we also need to do. And you know what? Paul did a great job of teaching Timothy. And he said, after my departure, he said this over in the book of Acts. He said, you know, Timothy, after my departure, or he said this to other preachers too, after my departure, grievous wolves shall enter in. But he said to Timothy, preach. You know what I found out? Preaching changes lives. Amen. How do I know that? Because it changed my life. Amen. It changed my life. Then he said something else here. He said, Timothy, you need to continue in the Bible. You need to continue in preaching. And then he said something that I thought was very interesting. He said, Timothy, and everybody needs to listen to this, Timothy, you need to continue when others go in a different direction. Because that's going to happen. Well, how do you know? Look down at verse number 10. He said, Timothy, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. But notice he said, now go down to verse number 14. He said this. He said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Now I believe this is the same Alexander that if you read in the book of Acts over in the church at Ephesus, he was helping Paul. And now he says he's done me much evil. Demas, you read in other places where Demas is with me, Demas is doing this, and now he says Demas had forsaken me. What does that mean? It means that Demas went in a different direction. We don't know what that direction was, but let me just tell you, the word forsaken means forsaken. I love how the Bible is so hard to understand. Well, wonder what that forsaken means. It means like forsaken. He left him. Demas had deserted Paul for another way than the way that Paul wanted Timothy to go. That's why he's telling Timothy, continue, because Demas didn't continue. And you know what? This is true today with church members, but also preachers. And it hurts when people leave the church because they say things like, well, all you do is preach doctrine. No, I just preach the Bible. This, my favorite is, well, preacher, we've prayed about it. No, you didn't. It's the biggest lie I've ever heard in my life. We prayed about it. Or how about this one? Well, we're just not being fed. Are you serious? If you'd come to church, you'd be fed. You come to church once every 3 weeks? I said, well, I mean, that's like going to Cracker Barrel once every 3 weeks and not eating anywhere between. Well, no wonder you're about to starve to death and die. Again, we left BBC all those years ago because there was a change in direction. We wanted to remain the same, but there was those who forsook the direction that we had stood for. There are many believers who do the same thing as Demas. Demas forsook Paul and went a different direction. Alexander the coppersmith, who had been a blessing in Ephesus, had now done Paul much harm, according to verse 14. Their desire for a different way was real and caused them to go into a different direction. That can be hard on churches and preachers and faithful church members. And you know what the truth is Paul was heartbroken. And that is why he told Timothy, Timothy, continue. Can you imagine how hurt Paul was? Those who he'd loved most forsaken him and he prayed for them. Now let me tell you, that's a mark of a good man. A man who's been wrong but didn't set out to get even, he just prayed for them. Many Christians are sitting on the sidelines, bitter and doing nothing for God because somebody offended them. Get over yourself. Well, the preacher didn't shake my hand. Of all people, men should not be offended by every little thing that happens. You're supposed to be a man. Man up, quit acting. I mean, the women are the emotional creatures, not men. You ever seen two little boys? You ever seen two little girls get into a fight? When they get in a fight when they're 6 years old, they'll be 32. They're still mad at each other. Two little boys, they get into a fight. They smack each other around a little bit, get up and shake hands, and the next day they're playing marbles or whatever they're doing. But here is the truth. If we continue in God's word, we must learn to forgive. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. My friend, you'll either forgive or you'll become bitter. When I first got saved, I used to listen on the radio as much preaching as I could get. And I used to listen to old Lester Roloff. And man, he would get to preaching and he would say, now one thing I disagreed with Brother the brother about. He said he called coffee liquid cigarettes. That ain't right. That just ain't right. That ain't right. I'm just saying, that ain't right. But he used to say this, you'll either, when you get into a conflict, when something happens, you'll either get better over it or you'll get bitter. And I found out in my Christian life that's so true. We need to continue in the Bible in preaching. And listen, my friend, we need to continue in what we know is right even when others go into a different direction. I believe now, that's why I love Brother Tidd. That's why I love other preachers that I have. They're believing the same thing now they believed 30 years ago. But yet I've ran into other men who 30 years ago stood one way and now today they're going in a totally different direction. I think about the Church Planters Conference in January there at Heartland, and I remember all those times Brother Sam would get up and make it clear, these are the things we believe. And we'd rattle off on church and the Bible. Listen, those things we still believe. And let me say this, you can believe something else. I fought in the military to allow you to believe whatever you want to believe. If you want to be a Mormon, you can be a Mormon. Now, you'll die and go to hell unless you get saved by the grace of God. But I'll tell you that, too. I don't mind saying that out loud. But I'm just telling you, you may have a polity that is different and you're teaching and practice. But listen, what I've said, just don't try to bring it to the church I pastor. Because we're not going in that direction. I remember back to the Church Planters Conference, we talk about the doctrine of the local church. Listen, I don't even allow, in Bible Institute, listen to this. And somebody said, called another preacher and said, Brother Abels is a universal church guy. And they go, you don't know Brother Abels. Because here's what I said. I said, I'm so local church that I, in our Bible Institute, I don't allow the men to say local. Because when you say local church, you're implying there's some other kind. We don't go around and go, hey, can I get a drink of wet water? Excuse me, ma'am, could you get me some hot fire? All fire is hot, all water is wet, and all churches are local. So don't come to me with some alien baptism, and I'm not talking about people on Mars either. I'm talking about something that's not Baptist is what I'm talking about. I had a guy, I dealt with this couple. They're in 78 and 79 years old. Can I tell you my pet peeve as a pastor? Okay, I'm going to anyway because I'm preaching. It's to go into a home and have a good conversation. They say, oh, we love your church. We love the preaching. We love the music. Okay, good. We just love the church. Then you say, well, tell me about your salvation. No, I got saved. And then you say, well, so tell me about your baptism. Well, I got baptized in an Assembly of God church. But when you went to this Baptist church you keep telling me you're a member of, you got baptized there, right? No. Pastor never said anything about it? No. I want to hit that guy right upside the head. Because now I got to be the bad guy and say, well, we can't take that kind of baptism. Because we don't believe you can lose your salvation. Didn't I already say I didn't believe in speaking in tongues? Come on now. That's the uniform. Listen, I was in the Air Force. I would never wear a Navy uniform. And if you're in the Navy, this is no offense. In fact, I went to the Navy recruiter till I saw those uniforms. I said, I ain't wearing that. Sorry. I told you, be a man. Don't be offended now. Don't be offended. I'm just telling you my story. So I'm telling you, I don't know any Marine that would wear an Air Force uniform. Right. Hoorah! Whatever that means. By the way, the Air Force guys, we're the smartest because enlisted guys, they send the officers out to fight. We stay back. All the other services, they fight and the officers stay back. So you tell me who's the smartest. All right, not anyhow. Anyhow, and so I had this couple, 78, 79 years old. And you know what they did? Praise God, because 1 out of 10 will say this. Well, Pastor, I never heard that before, but that makes absolutely sense. We want to be a member of Berean Baptist Church, so we want to get baptized. Woo! Instead of the next guy you go into and say, well, you're a legalist. No, legalism, honey, means that you believe that you got to have good works for salvation. We don't preach that. Anyhow, I got to finish this up. When I went to BBC in 1980, we moved to Springfield in 1985. The reason I'll never forget is it was my dad's birthday. On December the 15th, we moved into Springfield. I got out of Air Force and started school in January of 1986. And I'm going to tell you, when I went there, I had convictions about the Bible, about church, about the way things should be, missions. I mean, I had these things. And so when I went to school, I thought everybody's going to be like this. So I began to go through classes and people were arguing about the Bible, and I'm not going to argue about the Bible. And there was all these kind of things going on and just different things. And man, I'm shaking my head. So I go to my pastor and I said, you know, man, there's this going on and this is going on. And man, I got into it with a guy. There was a guy that was sitting in the library in front of three girls, and he was trying to convince them that the King James Version of the Bible was not the Word of God, that we should be using something else. And by the way, back in 1986, there was like 12 English versions back then. Now there's like 2,258 of them. And just follow the money and you'll find out that's what it's all about. And that's not my story. But anyhow, so I got down to the end of the semester and I said to my wife, I went to my pastor and I said, this is going to happen. He goes, well, Brother Jeff, he goes, let me just tell you something. You're going to have to eat the meat and you're going to have to spit the bones out. Now, I'm a very visual person. So I'm thinking, well, there ain't enough meat to eat a sandwich and there's a pile of bones over here that a man could get choked on. And so I told my wife, I said, I might have made a big mistake bringing us here. And if I did, I apologize. And maybe we need to go somewhere else. And let me tell you, back in 1986, there wasn't a lot of Bible colleges out there. Very few. So I called a few, and one of them prayed with me on the phone. And when they did, I said, well, maybe that's where we're supposed to go. So anyhow, I told my wife, I said, I always tell my wife is the only one I tell when I'm going to fast for a long period of time. Because I don't want her fixing my favorite meal. And me and over there crying in the corner. So I said, I said, you got to give me a week. Got to give me Monday through Friday. I said, I got to figure out if we're supposed to be here. And I've always found out when there's hard things in your life, if you'll fast and get serious with God, He'll help you. So I was on the third day of fasting. I fasted Sunday and Monday, and this was Tuesday morning, and I was meeting with God. And I said, Lord, I need direction. I need to know what I do. I need to know if I'm supposed to leave here and go somewhere else. And so on a Tuesday morning, this guy, he gets up to preach. This is the week of fellowship week, if you understand kind of the way Heartland does it and stuff like that, and preach all week. So they introduced this man and said, this is the first time he's ever preached in a meeting like this, never preached in a national meeting, never preached BBC in a national meeting like this. And so they announced his name. He got up and he said, everybody turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. And he began to preach, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And he preached the Bible. It was the third Bible message I'd heard in a semester. What I call a Bible expository Bible preaching message. And he exposed the scripture and he preached about the gospel and how we're not to be ashamed of it. And I'm telling you, I'm starting to shake a little bit, and I'm starting to go, oh, okay. Oh. People from the South, sometimes I get a little excited. Sometimes I want to run around the building, so I just run around inside my body. I'm just like, ooh, I'm running around the building. Sometimes I want to stand up and shout. You know, I mean, I've been to Sammy Allen's meeting. I've been to Myrtle, Mississippi. I'm telling you, son, it feels like you get saved all over again somehow, places. And I was feeling this way because he said, after he exposed the scripture, he said, now I need to make some applications. He said, because these are not the only things we're not ashamed of. And he started ripping a gizzard on the things that I was talking about tonight about not ashamed of preaching the Bible. We're not ashamed of the King James Version of the Bible. We're not ashamed of the church. We're not ashamed of soul winning. We're not ashamed of knocking on doors. We're not ashamed of saying it out loud. And by the time he was finished, I'm thinking several things. Number one, my wife can fix my favorite meal tonight because my fast is over. I got my answer. I'm supposed to stay right here. Because if there's guys like that, then I need to stay here. Now, little did I know that many years later, I would come back and pastor the church that I stayed in for those 4 years. Ever see how God, you got to listen to what God says? So that guy that said that was Sam Davison. That was his message. And that's the only reason I stayed at BBC, because I thought if there's guys like this, then I got to hang on. And so years later, when it was time to leave that mess that I said was a mess, then I'm in the Sam's Club. And don't come up and say anything negative to me about Brother Sam, because the Bible says as a pastor, I can't be a striker. And I don't want to lose my pastorship, you know. So. But you know what he was preaching back in 1986? He's never changed. So why should we change? Well, Paul said we shouldn't. He said we should continue. Continue in those things, not change them. I stayed because I saw men who were willing to believe the same things that I believe. So 25 years ago, we just said, let's continue. I'm not ashamed. And neither should you or your churches be ashamed of what your preacher preaches and the stand that he takes. Well, if we go over somewhere, we can feel a whole lot more comfortable. Well, you can feel comfortable going to Walmart in your pajamas. But that don't mean it's doctrinally sound. So you know what we need to do? Well, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing whom thou hast learned them. Let's all stand tonight, every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, I thank you for the theme of this meeting. And again, you know that I had no idea until just a couple of days ago that so much the more as we see the day approaching. Lord, if there's ever a day that we need men who are a gospel witness by the life that they live and by the words that they speak, it's today. If ever there was a time that we need men to be men, it is today. If ever there was a time that we need men not to be ashamed of the gospel, it is today. Of all the days that we live in, people to go to church, because now we've been taught we can just sit at home and watch it on live stream. May God help us. That live stream is a blessing for those that are infirmed. It's a blessing for those that are sick. It's a blessing for those in the nursing home, but it has no business in people's lives that can go to church and assemble themselves together. If ever there was a day we need church, it's today. If ever there's a day we need a Bible preacher, it's today. If ever there was a day that somebody needs to see somebody knocking on a door, it is today. God, help us to continue in the things that we know are right. And Lord, if there's some that have kind of maybe drifted off a little bit or thinking about drifting off, God, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would take them back to the place where they need to be. God, help us today in Jesus' name. Amen.